Zok the Heilige Mishnah weiter, Mesechtes Kedushin, Perik Yudalid, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Lo Yira Ravok Behema. Again, Ravok means someone who doesn't have a wife. An unmarried man should not be a shepherd for Behemois. Lo Yishnu Shnei Ravokim Betalis Achas. And two, men that are unmarried should not sleep under one talis. This is an inyan of Tznius. V'chachamim Atirim, but V'chachamim are matter these things. In Mishnah Yudbeis, we learned the halachis of Yichud. And over there we learned that a man cannot be alone with one or two women, but with three he can. But this isn't true for everybody. Zakt de Mishnah, kol she iskoi im hanoshim. And Isik means his business. What are you Isik in? Asha kedishanu b'mitzvoisav yitzivanu lasak b'divrei Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants limited Torah to be something we totally get involved in. So kol she iskoi im hanoshim, any person whose business, he's a peddler, he sells things that usually ladies buy. Lo yisyachad im hanoshim. He should not be alone even with a lot of women. Because they know each other, they're constantly dealing with each other, it's more likely that the gidrei tznius will not be upheld, they would cover for each other if something is done wrong. So the Matanura says like this, some lermshat, these are according to the shitas, that normally a person is allowed to be in the same room with three or four women. So we're saying that that's only a regular person, not someone that's iskei hamanoshim. There are shitas that hold that no one can be, even with three or four women. And our Mishnah is telling us, even under such circumstances where he says, this is my parnasa, I sell things that ladies buy, we still say you're not allowed to. That's how the Rambam learns pshat. Vayter says the Mishnah, a person should not teach his son umanos, a type of trade, a type of craft, bein hanashim, which this type of a thing is usually something where the women are your customers. So what? Yes. Reb Meir says, li oilam yilamid adam es benoi, a person should teach his son umnes nekiya v'kala. And umnes that is nekiya, nekiya means clean, but we mean honest, v'kala. And it's light. Don't invest huge amounts of money. Relax. Take it easy. Don't take big chances. Others explain, umnes nekiya v'kala means something you don't get totally involved in. His main head can be in learning. And he also does business to make parnasa, but not that his life is his business. They say about a lot of tzaddikim, they ask someone, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a shoe salesman. And the tzaddik said, I didn't ask you how you make your parnasa. I asked you what you do for a living. Where's your life? That's what the Mishnah is saying. Do what you have to do to make parnasa, but it shouldn't take over your whole life. That's the type of umnes you should teach your son. And the main thing is, says the Mishnah, v'yispalel, you should daven l'misha ha'oysher v'hanachasim shaloi, to the one whom ashiras, whom wealth, nachasim means things that a person owns, be mispalel to the one who owns these things, who really owns these things. Because at the end of the day, she'ein umnes she'ein ba'anias v'ashiras. In every business in the world, some people become poor from it, some people become rich from it. How could it be? Does this type of business or does this type of craft make you rich or poor? And the answer is, shaloi anias min umnes, the poverty doesn't come from the umnes, v'loi ashiras min umnes, and the wealth doesn't come from the umnes. Ela hakel of his chusai, it all has to do with his chus. How much chusim does he have? That he's ma'ir rachmanis mul ma'ilah, that Hashem has rachmanis on him and gives him parnasa. So in other words, a person shouldn't say, you're telling me to teach my son umnes nekiya v'kala, but how's he going to provide for his family? His parnasa is not coming from the business. We have to do what's called hishtadlus. Hishtadlus means Hashem wants us to do things b'derech hateva to try to make money. But we also have to know that we'll do what we're doing, but Hashem, what's going to happen, that's in your hands. So teach your son umnes, but know that the parnasa is not coming from the umnes. The parnas is coming from the Rabbeinu Shalala. I have heard from business people so many times that they had a product or they had an idea and they were sure it would work and all the experts said it would work and they lost so much money. And then they would try something, sometimes out of desperation or they had nothing better to do or, you know what, I'll give it a spin, see what happens. They weren't sure anything big would come out of it And they themselves couldn't believe how much parnasa they made. If someone has open eyes, he sees that the parnasa does not come from the business. It doesn't come from the craft. It comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom. I'll never forget, I once went to be Menachem Oval, a very close friend of mine. And he was crying so hard. His father had passed away. His father lived to a ripe old age. So I said to him, tell me something about your father. He told me his father was a Pashtun. He grew up in America. He didn't have a chance to go to Cheder. He basically knew Ivra, that's it. He tried so hard to be Mechanach his children. He wanted so badly to be Erlich. He had such a pure Amunah. And he had a business. You know what his business was? He bought vending machines. If you remember the old kind of vending machines, you probably don't remember. It had a stick. You pulled back the stick, and the bag of potato chips fell down. Like the shelf pulled back, and the bag of potato chips fell down. And sometimes you pulled out the stick, and the whole stick came out of the machine. And sometimes the bag of potato chips got stuck, and you had to shake the machine. And his father went, he put it into police stations. That's what he did. That was his parnasa. And once a week, he would come and take out the money and restack the machine. It wasn't a big parnasa, but it was enough to put food on the table. And one day my friend told me he came with his father, and in walked up as an inspector from the police and said, who gave you a right to put these machines over here in the police station? And someone told him, well, he has them at a few police stations. He said, you better get them out of here. And my friend told me he was a little boy and he started to cry. First, it's not comfortable to see someone yell at your father. And second, where would his father have parnasa from? I'll never forget. My father put his hands on my shoulder and he said to me, Moshe Leib, that's the name of my friend. You think my parnasa came from these machines? It came from Hashem. And a lot of times, Hashem closes one door of parnasa and he opens seven others. So I'm in a very good mood today. I can't wait to see which door Hashem is going to open for me now. If I believed till now that my parnasa came from the vending machines, I would be devastated. But I never believed it came from the vending machines. It comes from Hashem. So I'm so curious to see. How is Hashem going to send me my parnasa now? I'm even excited. In other words, he was saying a Mishnah. The Mishnah that says again, V'yispalel, we should daven l'misha ha'oysher v'anachasim shaloi. To whom that ashiros and achasim and possessions are his. She'ein umnes, she'ein ba'anias v'ashiros. There's no umnes, that there's no poverty or wealth that comes from it. Shaloi anias min ha'umnes. The poverty does not come from the work. And being rich doesn't come from the particular type of work that you're doing. It has to do with the schus of the person. Rav Shalom Shvadron, Zechayin Levrach, used to say a story about a chashev yid in Yerushalayim, a big tzaddik, had a little store. Little store with so much schayra. Unfortunately, it was the war years, and no one had money to buy anything. So he came to his store, knowing, apidar chatev, no one's coming to buy. What should I do? I have to try to make parnasa. And a little girl came in, she asked for a machberes, a little notebook, a special kind. And he searched the entire store for it, he couldn't find it. Schlepped boxes, climbed shelves. Finally he found it, and she began to cry, but she doesn't have any money. Shine, take it. Shoo, and he's wiping the schwitz, the sweat off his brow, and suddenly a British soldier comes running in and he says, quick, I want to buy a present for my commanding officer, I have to leave. If you have it right now, good, if not, not. Do you have a Parker pen? In those days, Parker pens were very chashev. Now, it turned out, he would have never remembered that he had a Parker pen. But as he was schlepping these boxes, he remembered seeing a Parker pen. So he ran back and he got it, and that soldier paid him for this pen so much money, they had parnasa for the whole week, he was able to give tzedakah. So he taich, bezeyas apecha taicha lechem. By the sweat of your brow, you eat bread. But it doesn't mean, I sweat for one thing. Ah, now I found my bread. No, you sweat. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give you a parnasa, he gives you a parnasa. So Hashem showed me, I have to work, but the parnasa doesn't come from my work. I work to look for a machberes, but my parnasa came from the Parker pen. But you know, there's a letter from the son of the Rambam, and he writes, one of the great nesyonos that we have is when a person does business, and it looks like the business is making money. Every once in a while, Baruch Hashem, Hashem shows us. It was clear, I looked for a machberes, and my parnasa came from the Parker pen. But sometimes you look for the machberes and you make money on the machberes. But you have to believe even then that the parnasa came from Hashem and it has nothing to do with your hishtadlus. It's just that if we try, Hashem could have rachmanis on us and give us. But that's even a bigger nesayin when it looks like it is coming from what we are doing. That's when it's harder to remember. Shaloyanias mina umnis veloyashiris mina umnis. Elahakal lefi sechusai, says our Mishnah. All depends on our schus. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Re'isa miyamecha, did you ever see in your days chaya v'oif? A chaya or a bird? Sheyeshlem umnis? I know in the coloring books or in the story books, you know, the bear is a tailor or the rabbit is a carpenter. But if you look in the woods where these animals are, you don't see such things. They don't have jobs. V'hem esparnes and shalei b'tzar. Somehow they figure out a way to survive, to have panasa without tzar. V'haloi le'nivru el l'shamsheni. But they were created only l'shamsheni, to serve me. They're here to serve the person. And why is the person created? V'ani nivrei, see, I was created l'shamish eskaini, to serve my master, to serve Hashem. Eini din, shouldn't it be for sure? L'chayr, that's what we would think, that's what our svara should be. She'esparnei shaloi b'tzar, that I should be able to have parnasa without tzar? So why do I have to work for a living and sometimes work hard for a living? Ela shaharoisi masei, because I did the wrong things. V'kipachti es parnasasi, and therefore I lost my parnasa. Does this mean that every person that doesn't have parnasa did something wrong? The Maral says that when Hashem ben Elazar says, it's my fault, he means to say it's man's fault. He's referring to Adam HaRishon. Before the Chet, Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden. He didn't have to work. The Peiros were there for him. But when he was Chote, and he ate from the Eitz Hadas, the earth was cursed. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. And then he had to be thrown out of Gan Eden. Now, Arasha can add to this. But had Adam HaRishon not been Chote, just like an animal doesn't go to learn a trade, humans wouldn't have to either. That's how the Maral is pshat in the Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah Vayta Abagurian ish Tzadion Oimer Mishum Abagurya, Abagurya of Tzaydan. Says in the name of Abagurya, Lo yilamad Adam ez benoy, a person should not teach his son Chamar, to be a donkey driver. Gamal, or a camel driver. Sapar is a barber. Sapan is a sailor, right? Sveen is a boat. Sapan is a sailor who guides the boat. Roy is a shepherd. The Chemini, or a storekeeper. What's the problem with these things? What are the challenges with these types of parnassos? She'umnasan umnas listim. Because these type of work is the work of thieves. People that do these things have nisyonos of taking money that's not theirs. The donkey drivers, the camel drivers, the ship captains or ship drivers, the sailors, they can stop off by different places, take wood, take payros. They can help themselves to someone else's vineyard. And also they make conditions with a person and they don't always hold their conditions. A shepherd sometimes takes his behemoth to graze in fields that belong to someone else. A shopkeeper sometimes puts some water into the wine or pebbles into the wheat so it weighs more. You can charge a full pound, but there's no full pound of wheat if there are pebbles inside. And we said before, as the Batnur reminds us, you have to try to teach your child umnis nekiya, nekiya meaning clean, where there won't be nesiyanis, there won't be tests. Rabbi Huda says in his name, meaning Abagurya that we mentioned beforehand, Hachamarin Ruban Rishayim, the donkey drivers, most of them are Rishayim, because as explained, they steal. But for Hagamalin, the camel drivers, Ruban Ksher, most of them are kosher people. Most of them don't engage in anything that's dishonest. Why? Because they travel in a Makam Sakana, in a desert where it's very dangerous. They're always scared, oh no, which robber can jump at me now? Who knows what they could do to me? There's no police here, there's no civilization over here. They're always davening to Hashem. When you realize you need Hashem, you don't do aveiros. Hasaponim, the ship, sailors, Ruban Chasidim. Chasid is even a higher medrega in the lashon of the Mishnah than Ksherim. Chasid in the lashon of the Mishnah means people that do lefnim mishuras hadin. And why are they so erlich? How many stories did you hear about ships and storms? Especially in those days when they didn't know how to avoid storms. the high seas was even more dangerous than the desert. So they were more subservient. They were constantly davening, Hashem, please protect us. Weiter. He also said, according to this opinion, Toiv Sheberoifim LeGehenim, the best of doctors could be in danger of going to Gehenim. Because he thinks, oh, I know how to keep a healthy lifestyle. I don't have to worry about getting sick. So he's not machnia his heart to Hashem. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. Other Pshatim are that sometimes if a doctor is a Balgaiva and he doesn't know the answer, he won't ask another doctor because he's embarrassed. Maybe you know how to treat this patient. Or sometimes because the patient doesn't have money, he won't treat him. The Mashar explains that Yehuda doesn't mean all doctors. What do you mean? But he said, Toiv Sheberoifim, the best of the doctors. That does not mean even the best doctor, Chas V'Shalom, goes to Gehenna. It means a doctor who considers himself to be the best of the doctors. And he relies on his expertise. And he doesn't ask others. Tell me, am I treating the patient the best way? Or maybe you heard a way of treating this patient, I don't know. That's what it means. Azay Zakta Marsha. There's the famous story, Rabbi Yankala Galinsky, the famous Magid, was in the hospital, and a doctor came over to him, and they knew this doctor always gave the Haredim, the Frum people, trouble. And he said to him, what does it mean? Toiv Sheberoifim LeGehenim. So Rabbi Yankala told him, what's your problem? It says Toiv Sheberoifim, only the best of the doctors. We're not talking about you. You're not from the best doctors. There was a famous doctor. His name was Dr. Moshe Walch. This doctor gave up his life for the Yidden in Yerushalayim. He came from Germany where he had a prestigious job. And he lived in Yerushalayim in the worst times. He started a hospital. He was never even able to get married. From morning till night he treated and helped people. And was Meister Nefesh himself for Yidden. Because in those days the only hospital that there was in Yerushalayim until Dr. Moshe Walch came was a missionary hospital. And many of the Yidden wouldn't go there, even if their lives were in danger. Dr. Moshe Walach was particularly close with the great Rav of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Together they were mamish meiser nefesh themselves for Yidden in many different ways. And once, Dr. Walach said to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, what does it mean? Toiv Sheberoifim LeGehenim. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim said to him, Moshe, I'll tell you what it means for you. You're going to come up to Shemayim. Says if a person saves one person, it's like he saved the entire world. You're going to go straight to Gan Eden. I know how many people you saved. But you're going to sit there in Gan Eden and you're going to say, Ay! They're on the Shamas in Gehenim that are suffering. Let me go help them. Let me see if I can cure them. Let me see if I can give them pain medication. That's what you're going to do. Because you won't be able to stay in Gan Eden. You're so used to running out of a comfortable area to help people. So Toiv Sheberoifim, you're going to bang the doors of Gehenim. Let me go in and help them. That's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim said. Pshat is for you. Zak the Mishnah Vayter, furthermore, he said, V'hakosher Shebetabachim. And even the most kosher of butchers, Shitofa Shalamalek, is a partner of a Malek. A partner of a Malek? Some say because often he'll say an animal is kosher even when it's not. And just like a Malek who tried to be Machshul Klal Yisrael and get him to sin, so does this butcher. That's how Rashi learned. Some say because he's constantly killing animals, so in him there's a midah of achzarius, like a molech. That's why the Mefarshim, that's why there was a minig in many towns that the shoichet had to be the biggest Baal Machnas Oirach. The Rav demanded. He said to the shoichet, you have to show extra rachmanis to make sure there's no achzarius in your heart by your constant job of shechting. Zakt the Mishnah Vayter, Rav Neharai Oimer, Rav Neharai says, Maniach ani eskal, the shavi oilam, I put aside every business, every craft, every trade in the world, ve'ena melamed es b'nei ela Torah, and I teach my son nothing but Torah. Sha'adam oichel mischara ba'olam hazeh. A person eats like from the peiros of the schar down here in this world. Ve'keren kayemes li'olam haba. While the keren, the principle, remains intact for the world to come. It's like if you have an apartment, you get the rent. That's like the peiros. But the keren is the building. You still keep the building. Well, you have a field. That's the real mashal. Eat the peiros, but you still keep the field. So Limud HaTorah makes a better life for us down here in this world, a happier life, a life of Kiddusha and Tahara. But the main schar stays for you. The principle stays for you, Li'olam Haba. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, once went to a gevir to collect money for Lakewood Yeshiva when the Yeshiva was first starting. In those days, people weren't Machshev Torah so much. And this rich man had this gorgeous carpet, beautiful paintings on the wall, huge chandelier, breathtaking view, and Rabbi Aaron couldn't hold himself back. He said to him, "Where is your Olam Haza?" So the gevir said to Rabbi Aaron, "You want to ask me where my Olam Haba is? Okay, that's a good question. Where's my Olam Haza? Look around." So Rabbi Aaron said, "This is what you call Olam Haza? Do you have any idea what the geshmak is on this world? The joy of learning a Blat Gemara, of breaking through and understanding a Tosfos? No, I'm sorry. I know what I'm asking. Where's your Olam Haza?" So Rabbi Aaron was talking about the Eichel Mischar of the Olam Haza. You don't even have a clue what the Schar is the Olam Haba, because the Keren, the principle, is Kayemes, that is kept, it's sustained, it'll be there Olam Haba, it doesn't get used up. Other trades are not that way. You may have enough from it down here, but that's it. Kishaba l'day choyli, if a person becomes sick, chas v'shalom, or l'day zikna, or when he gets old, or l'day yisurin, or he's suffering for whatever reason, ve'ena yachol lasik b'malachta, he can no longer be Isaac in his work, he could die of hunger. But the Torah is not like that. It protects him from any ra, from any bad thing, when he's young. And it gives him, so to speak, a good ending. What to hope for as he gets old. The Tosfos Yom Tov explains this means to say that even if the Talmud Chacham is old and he cannot learn anymore, he still has hanah down here in this world from the Torah that he learned. Again, a story that Avshalom Shvadron Zechel Avracha used to say, he went to visit a chaver of his in a nursing home who wasn't well. He walked in, his chaver was sitting by a gemara, sitting next to the window. Avshalom watched him, he was so engrossed in his learning. He didn't want to disturb him, he had to stand there for 15 minutes until the man looked up and said, "Oh, Avshalom, why don't you tell me you're here?" "Ah, let me tell you, I'm muddy the gepshat in the tisus I just thought of." Then Avshalom went downstairs and he saw a bunch of people, same age, sitting by a cement table, and they were arguing. "No, 18. No, 17. What are you talking about, 16? He was so curious. He went over to them. He asked them, "What are you arguing about?" So they answered, "You know, we're sitting here. We don't have what to do. So we count how many city buses passed." There was a machloikus, how many buses passed. So Shalom said, "You see, what you do your whole life has to do with who you are when you get old. And we're talking on this world. When someone studies Torah, when he's young, what does the pasuk say? V'koyvei Hashem yachlifu kayach. V'koyvei Hashem, those that hope to Hashem, kavi al Hashem, yachlifu kayach. Their strength is constantly renewed. And b'zeknusei mahu oimer. And in his old age, what does the pasuk say? Oid yenuven b'seiva. They will still produce." Even in their old age, v'chein hu oimer, b'Avram Avinu, Allah v'shalom says, by Avram Avinu, v'Avram zokein. And Avram was old, but v'Hashem beirach as Avram b'kayel. So we see Hashem gave him, in a way, more bracha. He had more kavod in the eyes of the world when he was older, more so than when he was young. That's what it means, oid yenuvim b'seiva. He has even more bracha when he's old than when he was young. Knowing when you get older, it goes down. Here by the Talmud Chacham, the older we get, the more it goes up. Sha'asav Ram Avinu was called the Torah Kula Ad Shalai Nitna, continues the Mishnah. We find that Avram Avinu was Mekayim the entire Torah, even before it was given. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ekev, because Asher Shama Avram Bekayli, Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvayse Chukayse Vesayroyse. And each one refers to something else. Vayishmar Mishmarti means Avram was Mekayim de Gzeirais, that the Chachamim made to prevent us from being over Aveirais. Mitzvoisai are the things that even if it wasn't written in the Torah, we would understand on our own, like Gezel and Shvichas Damim. Chukaisai are the mitzvois that we don't understand the time. They're Gzeirais HaMelech, And Teroisai Lashin Rabbi means that he was Mekayim both Torah Shebeksav as well as Torah Shebepeh. Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu was even Mekayim Erev Tavshilin. How did Avraham Avinu know what to do? Remember my father's Lavach is sharing with me from the Belzerov. The first Belzerov, he said a mashal, a baby cries when he's hungry, a tiny baby. How does he know to cry? How does he know he's hungry? He feels something is missing. He's not satisfied till he gets it. No one has to teach him. Babies don't go for lessons. Now we're going to teach you. When you're hungry, you cry. Doesn't work that way. It's natural. Avram's neshama was so pure. His guf didn't stand in the way. So you walk into a house, you're cold. You know that you have to turn on the heat or close the windows. Avram walked into a house, he said, oi, a mezuzah, a mezuzah. He knew it needed a mezuzah. It was natural. Now really, why does the Mishnah tell us this? What's the connection to what we said before? Someone learns Torah, his kavod, his char gets even better as he gets older. What does that have to do with the fact that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula? Even the Gzeiros D'Rabbanan. Says the Sefer Ben Yehoyada from the Ben Ish Chai. You're bringing me a raya, Hashem Beirach HaSavram Bakayel. That Avraham Avinu through it. Kiyum HaTorah was zoicha to all that bracha as he was getting older, never mind the schar and elam haba, but as he was getting older, there was more and more schar. Oid yinuvim b'seva. But Avram couldn't have even learned Torah. It was before Matan Torah. So what's the raya that Avram's schar came through Torah? So therefore the Mishnah has to say, no, Avram was mekayim kala Torah kula. He didn't even need to be taught. He understood on his own what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that was the source of his bracha. Hadron Allah, Masechtas Kiddushin, Hadron Allah, Seder Nashim.